Assalamualaikum, salam sejahtera. Nama saya Ibrahim Sani. Ini adalah Agenda Awani. Kita akan merungkaikan terus kembali tentang isu ataupun kontroversi yang sedang disaksikan di Suruhanjaya Pencegahan Rasuah Malaysia SPRM, di mana Ketua Pesuruhjaya Azam Baki sedang mengalami satu situasi yang agak unik, di mana siasatan terhadap beliau juga merungkaikan terhadap isu siasatan terhadap SPRM sebagai sebuah badan integriti untuk mencegah rasuah. Demi mendalami isu ini, kami ada Dr. Kasim Noor Mohamad, seorang criminologist dari Nottingham Trent University, who joins us from the United Kingdom in Nottingham. But okay, let's talk a little bit more about this. Sebab mesyuarat khas yang sepatutnya diadakan pada 19 Januari ini, di mana PSC ataupun jawatankuasa kira-kira Parlimen akan menyoal siasat Azam Baki. Tetapi mesyuarat itu telah pun ditangguhkan. I just want to understand a little bit more. Do you feel that this is more of an invitation or more of a demand of attendance or a subpoena? And do you feel that he is obliged or obligated to go? Okay.
Okay, Ibrahim. I think first of all, I need to look at what's happening around. You know, in fact, if we look at some news media talking about, or the opposition members talking about Azam Baki being subpoenaed or is compelled to go. Now, about the subpoena, whether it's a subpoena or it's an invitation to attend, that's something that we don't really know of, because we don't have sight of the letter that was given to Azam Baki. Now, if it is a subpoena, I'm not sure whether Parliament can give subpoena, but they can compel, then he has to go. But if it is an invitation to go, just like any other invitation, I don't think you are compelled to go or to attend an invitation. So far, we have not got any clear guidance on whether it was a subpoena or it was a what they call an invitation to attend.
The reason why I brought this up is because we want to examine the powers that the Parliament has over MACC, Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. It is a commission, sebuah Suruhanjaya. It is being oversight by the Parliament. It is being operating under MACC Act. Any change of the Act would require a two-thirds majority in the Parliament. So let's face it, the fact of the matter is that we can't really amend the law. MACC will continue to operate the way it has. And the reality is as such, where the investigation against the head of MACC is also an investigation on the body itself. And if I may extrapolate, how the nation combats corruption altogether. And over the past few weeks, if not years, the integrity of that body has been dragged through the mud. And right now we want to understand how they can stand against this kind of allegations, and whether or not, you know, things would be better off if Azam Baki goes away. Do you feel that this kind of extrapolations is fair to be made, or do you feel that I am actually over-exaggerating the situation right now?
I think the crux of the matter is that, you know, MACC is actually monitored by many oversight committees. You know, that has been in place all the time. And with regards to your question on whether Tan Sri Azam should go on leave, or what they call garden leave and stuff like that, it's almost like we are actually saying that it seems that he's guilty of something.
I see. Okay.
Now, if we look at the allegation, what is the allegation about? Okay. The allegation is about him having shares. Okay. And the allegation is about the use of his brothers, you know, to what they call manage those shares and stuff like that. Now, one of the things that we don't really know so far is what evidence is there to show that having those shares, having somebody, a nominee managing the shares, is actually an offence. We have not seen any evidence so far. Now, as a criminologist, you know, I will always go on facts and I will go on evidence. Okay. Now, it seems that, you know, I just go a bit further ahead. It seems Tan Sri Azam has initiated a civil suit, a defamation suit against whoever came up with that expose. Okay. So, if I was someone who was involved, or I'm worried that I am actually what you call guilty or something, I wouldn't initiate a civil suit. Okay, because the worst thing that will the thing that will happen is I'm going to wash my dirty laundry in the court of law.
Mm.
So what we need to do is we need to wait for, first of all, any investigation that's been done by whichever authorities, and also the case to be heard in court. And the truth will prevail.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And of course, innocent until proven guilty. And as a criminologist, you know, that is very well lauded for. The issue here is, of course, public perception. There is a negative, largely negative public perception, not just on Azam Baki, but on MACC. Wouldn't it be bad, for instance, if he doesn't attend the PSC meeting or the PSSC meeting at the parliament? Do you feel that no matter what happens right now, much of the linen has to be discussed in public, no matter what, not just to combat the investigation and the evidences that may or may not exist, but the kind of public perception management that we need to speak of right now? Do you feel that that is the more of the issue today rather than the hardcore cold facts that we have to face eventually in the court of law?
I think, again, I got to come back to the question on whether he was subpoenaed or he was invited.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, if he's subpoenaed, then, or if he's compelled officially, then he has to go. But if it was an invitation, there's no reason for him, you know, to abide by it. But what you got to remember is the Parliamentary Special Select Committee. You know, they have their term of reference that they need to follow. Okay. One of the things that they need to follow is that there must be mandate from the House or a minister, you know, a motion to ask the to empower the PSCC to call Azam Baki. Now, we don't know whether this has been done or not. I don't know whether this has been done or not. Now, if it has not been done, then the worry is that, because if you look at the standing order, what they call the Dewan Rakyat Standing Orders, Order 83-4, if I'm not mistaken, you know, if there's no referral from the House is made, then the PSSC investigation into the Chief Commissioner can be seen as unlawful.
Got it.
They must have the mandate, and then they can compel him. They can ask him to come up a motion and give evidence to the PSSC. Now the part that, like you said, you know, the meeting that's supposed to happen on Wednesday, it's now been postponed. What reasons are that? I'm not too sure.
Yeah, of course. Kay, we need to go back to my earlier question, which is on managing public perception. I understand the point that you raised. It could possibly be unlawful, assuming they don't have the mandate. It's also important for us to highlight that this issue is being investigated by two different parties, the police as well as the Securities Commission. So while the bodies that do have the mandate, i.e. the police and the SC, and they do have the necessary mandate to investigate, and of course, now we're talking about the Parliament's role in this. That whole notion of public perception, I know, you know, I mean, we're not in the PR business, but generally speaking, this is directly involving public persona, public integrity, a public body like SBRM or MACC. Surely this must warrant some form of public perception management. Am I right?
Exactly. Public perception plays an important part in so many things. Okay. Now, the issue is how certain things are being reported. It must follow ethics. Okay. For instance, if I have a complaint and I know there's some wrongdoings, okay, first of all, I must verify whether my complaint is true or not. Okay. Second thing, I got to look for the evidence, and then I, what do you call, I discharge the complaint. Okay. Now, what is happening here, which is very dangerous, is that it seems that there is half truth being floated around to the public, allowing the public to make their own mind about what is actually happening. If a total lie is told, it is less dangerous than half truth. For instance, if someone say, okay, someone has this shares and he's not supposed to have the means to have the shares, and all that. But that information is actually available in the public domain. It was not secretive. Anyone can have a look. And it was available in the public domain. It was available way back, what, in 2014, 15, 16, or something like that. Now, is it an expose or is it a whistleblowing stuff? No, because it's available in the public domain. Now, one of the things which is dangerous is when many are talking about the number of shares that this person have, instead of saying what's the value of the shares. Okay. Now, whether this person have actually managed to get a approval from for civil servant, they need to get approvals and all that, whether he has approval, whether he has already documented certain things which allows for his brother to be nominee and stuff like that, we don't know that. Now, what we did was, as someone who uses the media, I mean, the media can be used positively as well as negatively. Now, when someone says half truth, the truth is there. Azam Baki has shares, most probably his brother is, I'm not sure about it, what the ingredients of it is, but the crux of it, he has shares. Okay, that's true. But when you go out and say he has shares, he has millions of shares, and there were commentators and even some politician talking about he have hundreds of millions of shares, which was told online on TV, that actually fans the negative perception for anyone. It doesn't matter whether it's the chief commissioner. For instance, someone says about me that I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that, but without furnishing the real evidence and the facts, in a way, the perception of whoever is what they call interested in me, it can be skewed, and what remedy do I have if I know it's not true?
The only way I can think of is to go to courts and face civil suits.
Exactly. For instance, if you were somebody was saying lies about you, you will definitely want to clear the matter.
Of course,
Now, you will
definitely.
instigate a legal suit. Now that Azam Baki has initiated a civil suit, that means he may have evidence that he can show that he's done nothing wrong. Now, for instance, the person who made the complaint or did the expose thinks that she's also been slandered or he is also been slandered, he or she has the right to also do counter sue him for slander. Everyone has the right to make sure that they get the legal remedy. It doesn't matter whether you are a public servant or you are a private citizen. The law is for everyone.
Kita akan berehat sebentar. Sekembali nanti kita akan teruskan perbincangan kita dengan Dr. Kasim Nur Mohamad, seorang pakar kriminologi dari United Kingdom. Kembali selepas ini. Terima kasih kerana terus bersama kami. Ini adalah Agenda Awani. Bersama kami di atas talian adalah Dr. Kasim Nur Mohamad, seorang pakar kriminologis dari United Kingdom. Doktor, mungkin kita boleh teruskan perbincangan kita. In particular, about the two bodies that are on the case, predominantly the Securities Commission. Maybe I can ask you this. Both of us, you and I, we are outside of the conversation in terms of the investigation, unless you are part of the investigating team and you wish to explain some of the ideas that is currently happening there. But none of us have that kind of clearance, or we are in the team. But in terms of anticipation, do you feel that Azman Baqi is going to get the clear from SC? And do you think that this would be able to quiet the detractors right now that are peddling this kind of information in public domain?
Well, I think that's the 2 million shares question that we are asking. Okay. It may quieten to a certain extent, but it looks like, I'm not saying there is, but it looks like some invisible hand is trying to fan up, you know, all this. So the detractors, I can guarantee you, they will not be satisfied. Okay, there will be other things that may come in. I'm not saying it will, but yeah, it may come in. But we got to go back again to the fact. The fact is that there is no evidence so far to link Azman Baqi to any wrongdoing. Okay, where is the offense? Okay, one of the things is about, okay, people are talking about whether he has actually declared it to the his superiors. I presume that he has actually said in his press conference that he's declared it to his superiors. You know, so that's one thing. Second thing is about getting his brother as a nominee to whatever it is with the shares. Now, this has actually been investigated by the police, like you said, as well as the Securities Commission.
Currently investigated. Investigation has not been concluded yet.
No, I know. It's being investigated now as it is. Now, let the course of the inquiry or the investigation, you know, finish.
Run its course.
Let them come up with their conclusion before we start to fan certain things. Now, by fanning certain things, the investigation itself is prejudice, you know. Public perception is very strong. Okay, sometimes it can sway certain things, you know. But we hope that the investigation is actually done without fear or favor, with transparency, you know. And I think it will.
Okay, maybe one more question that I need to clear with you is that in an unprecedented move, some of the deputies inside MACC or SPRM went to town with a declaration that they support Azman Baqi. This is an unprecedented move because we don't see normally statutory bodies like MACC come out in support of one of their own. They'd rather stay quiet. Or support in their personal capacity rather than coming out with a letterhead that is bearing the name of the institution that they represent. Do you feel that this move was warranted? What do you make of this?
I think that's quite an interesting question that you are giving. I think there's some commentators who a few days ago was talking about MACC and investigating Tan Sri, and that investigation might be jeopardized because it's internal. MACC has not initiated any investigation on Tan Sri itself because they know the investigation should be someone else, somebody independent. Okay. Now the fact that when you said about that, I think is it about the release that they gave on Facebook. about standing by the chief commissioner. If you look at it, what they are saying actually is that they would want an independent investigation taking place without fear or favor, a balanced investigation. And to me, I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but they also said that they support Azam Baki wholeheartedly. It is there in black and white.
I don't think it's in black and white. Saying that, well, they say, I think one of the things that they say is about, you know, they're worried about this could be allegation, baseless allegations and all that. But I don't have the facts of the matter at the moment inside, you know. But what when I read it a few times, I saw that there was this what do you call the statement saying that there should be a fair investigation.
Which is a fair thing to say, of course. I understand that bit, yeah. Finally, the whole question of political players now commenting on it. Do you feel that there would be some vested interest against this political players for or against the administration, for or against Azam Baki as a person? Do you feel that this actually muddles that whole conversation of how the investigation is going to be carried out, how public perception is going to be managed? What do you make of this politicians coming to the fray right now on this topic?
I think there's two parts of that question that you asked me. One thing is about whether there's a hidden hand by politicians and stuff like that. And the other thing is about how public perception again, you know. I think in the final analysis, what I would see is if I look at the kinds of comments that came out, which I've actually explained to you much earlier.
Yes, of course.
There seem to be, I'm not saying there is, you know, that there seem to be a movement, you know, to tarnish the image of the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. What better way to tarnish it than to tarnish the chief commissioner himself by proxy tarnishing the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. Now, what is the agenda behind it? I leave everyone to extrapolate. But to me, I could see there could be, you know, especially with the kind of fiery comments that came out in social media and stuff like that. What's the agenda of, who is doing this? You know, I'm not that privy to the political scenario where Malaysia is, and I'm not a politician, so I'm just a criminologist. And again, I look at the facts. Okay. So I think
which
that
is
would be.
Which is scant, right? In the public domain, we can't really make
exactly
much out of it.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, when you look at social media and all that, social media should be used for good.
Yeah, but that's never the case, okay. That's never the case. Social media is a place where people can have bad takes, and then of course things get fiery, and you know, enragement does equal to engagement. So you have that going on for you. Not just for Azam Baki or anyone else, generally speaking. And but I have been on the brunt of social media fury, I suppose, every so often. But that's the nature of social media. Okay, finally, as a person who is part of the diaspora of Malaysia, how do you feel Malaysia is taking ourselves right now? Do you feel that we are heading in the right direction? And how will this shape up in the possibility of an upcoming general election that we are going to face in the next at least 12 to 15 months from now?
Okay. Again, that's a political question there.
It's a question from one Malaysian to another.
Okay. Well, in the eyes of the world, you know, if we look at, if I just focus on the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission to start with, okay. Now, the investigation into 1MDB, you know, and how the 1MDB, what they call scandal, was investigated by the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. My colleagues in the UK and everywhere else are at awe at what, you know, has been done in terms of the 1MDB investigation. Although there are many issues and many problems that the investigators face. But overall, they actually are in awe. Now, where Malaysia in general is concerned, I'll give you an example in terms of one issue. Okay, I think I explained this to you earlier, before we have this official, you know, chat, is that just look at the COVID scenario in the UK and in Malaysia. I think we are tackling the COVID scenario much better. In that sense, that's one what you call one aspect of it. But definitely, if we look at how certain things are evolving, you know, and if we look at the upcoming general election, I can say it in one sentence: we are living in interesting times.
Of course, that's a good way to end. Berikut adalah perbincangan saya bersama Dr. Kasim Noor Mohamad, seorang pakar kriminologi yang berasal ataupun is based in the UK. Teruskan bersama Astro Awani, saya Ibrahim Sani.